It's your boy C-Rock, and I have one question for you. What are you made of? Join me as I share my stories and past experiences that I use to break through barriers and take things to the next level in my life. Along the way, we will also hear from guests about their stories in hopes to help you uncover your past life events that you can use on your journey to answer the question, what are you made of? All right, folks, it's your boy C-Rock on the What Are You Made Of podcast, and it's sponsored by Nations Lending. Just want to remind you of that. Nations Lending, home loans made human. Throughout the United States, we help people buy homes, and I'm so thankful to Nations Lending because they have set this podcast up with me. They've done everything I needed to get it set up. They've supported me, and it's a great organization that I run a division of in the Mid-Atlantic region in southeastern Florida. So I want to thank Nations Lending. And today I'm excited because I have a classmate of mine from the 10X Stages group. And Nani Bernal, she's been honing her skills as I have been. And I just want to welcome her aboard to the What Are You Made Of movement. And she has the Empower Tribe. And I'm going to let her speak on all that and tell her story. And just to remind everyone listening that we at the What Are You Made Of movement are interested in people sharing their stories in their past. It could be events, life things, things that have happened in their families. It's very important to get the stories out to help inspire other people. It helps the person telling the story, but it can inspire one, two, millions of people. And we want to remind people to have the courage to do that. So I'm excited to have Nani on here. Nani, listen, what's going on? How have you been since we've been taking that class? What's going on in your life? And then get into your story with us.
And thank you, one, for having me on the show. I'm super excited to be a part of your community and just give it what I got today. And I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I got like everything loaded up. I mean, you know, we follow Grant. So he preaches and preaches, just loading yourself up and you'll figure out how to make it through it all.
Yeah.
And it's a great feeling though, actually. We work hard. I know you work hard, but it's a great feeling to be busy.
Yeah. And you know what? I will correct you on that. I like to feel more productive now than busy, because busy is what I was trying to steer away from. You know, busy is definitely something I was trying to steer away from. And it's crazy how when you love what you do, it really is, it isn't work. And a lot of people will say, man, that's cliche. But my buddy Jonathan Hawkins always says, what's cliche is the truest thing. That's why we don't like to say it.
Yep. Nope. 100% right. Busy being productive. Let's put it that way.
There we go.
Yeah. So whether you want to go start from the beginning of your story and let us know what you're made of.
Definitely. So for everyone, you guys know my name's Nani Bernal, but my actual first name's Azahani. Everyone calls me Nani, but this is a big pivotal point of my story. You know, I've always been an entrepreneur, always had it in my blood to want to be great, but I was always great at the wrong things. I wouldn't say I was a bad person, just bad habits. A lot of life for me was filling myself up with voids at a very young age. Something that I really work on now, having a little girl, is making sure that I'm expressive with her and letting her know that it's okay to count on me. With that being said, at the age of 12 years old, my parents got a divorce. The reason they got a divorce will really strike you, and it's a big reason why I am who I am today. My parents got a divorce. My dad left my mom. He had a child with his sister. A real big, big breaking point for me, because I always tell everyone, you know, I've had lost three people at the age of 12, and not just by death, but just by like loss of respect, loss of love, loss of, man, this image that I had for my dad, my superhero, just crushed me. My mom, the strongest woman I know, broken. A best friend of mine passed away due to my negligence, you know, and not having the right head on. And that year was really hard for me. And it was more hard because I didn't have a way to express it. I was 12 years old, you know, going through that right now where my family's leaving out on my mom, and it's just my mom and my little sister and myself. It led me thinking I had to be a leader, but the leader that I was thinking was go hang out with the drug dealers, go hang out with the kids that are getting in trouble, go, you know, be reckless, because at this point, who cares, right? I just felt like everything was a lie. So that was a real big breaking point for me. And, you know, I always say that it opened up doors for me, but the doors it was opening up were jail cells. I was in juvenile a lot. I was getting into fights. At the age of 12, my best friend got shot in front of me because of a bad drug deal gone wrong that I shouldn't have even been a part of. And I think that was like a breaking point for me that made me feel like, all right, I'm numb now. Like now I'm just reckless. And from 8th grade till 11th grade, all I did was probably party, hang out with friends that I shouldn't have been hanging out with, getting into the wrong things that I shouldn't be getting into. And I lived up to everybody's titles. Drug dealer, did that. Dropout, dropped out. Best name of all, delinquent. And then I end up getting pregnant. I drop out of high school, I get pregnant, and now I'm like, damn, I'm living everybody's titles. Now I'm really the person that everybody thought I was going to be, and now I'm living through it. And for me, that really broke me. Because I'm like, man, like I'm better than this. Like when I wanted to be bad, I was great at being bad. When I wanted to play soccer, I was number one in the state and I tore my ACL. So there were so many things that kept happening to me that I'm like, you know what? This is the life that's meant to me. I got a sad life. I had a mentor pour into me, saw me working at a smoke shop.
How old were you when that went on?
19.
Mentor. 19, you met a mentor? Yeah.
Met a mentor in 19, and I didn't even know what a mentor was yet. He saw me working at a smoke shop, and I was working at Outback. Like, there's my life. I'm a cashier at a smoke shop, and I'm working at Outback as a host because I didn't even have experience in the restaurant industry. Dropped out, no experience. And he just saw my work ethic because he was a regular at both places. They were right next to each other. And he just saw my work ethic and was like, man, you know, I see something in you, and if you want an opportunity, I'm always here. I ended up getting fired from Outback, and the girl that got fired with me, that was her brother-in-law. So she reached out to him. We set up an interview and he's like, you've ever, you know, worked at a call center? I'm like, no. It's like, have you ever done sales? And in my head, I'm like, yeah, I've done sales. Like I'm pretty good at sales. And you know, I was supposed to be there for a front desk position. And when I'm walking out, he looks at me and he's like, you know, I'm going to give you a call in a little bit. Just answer. I think I got a perfect fit for you. And when he calls me about 15, 20 minutes later, he tells me, you know, I've never had a girl on my floor, but there's something about you that I really, really like. And would you like to be a salesperson on the floor? And to me, I just want a job. Like,
and this, what kind of business was this?
This was a student debt consolidation.
Okay.
So they were helping you clear out your student debt. I've never done call centers before, so I'm like, I'm a debt collector. I tell my mom about it. I tell my girlfriend at the time about it. I tell everybody about it. Like, yo, I just got this job. Super excited about it. And everybody, I promise you, everybody crushed me. Mom's like, are you sure you want to be a debt collector, Nana? Like, you're going to be sitting there dialing numbers all day. You're not going to make money. I don't think it's for you. My girlfriend's dad looked me square in my eye. And like, I remember this night because that's when I was like, all right, Nana. I'm not living anybody's titles anymore. I'm living in mine. He looked at me and he's like, you know, congratulations that you got the job, but I'll go looking at other places if I were you. And I look at him and I'm like, why? He's like, well, one, your attitude and, you know, how you get around people, you're not going to make it there. And you want to make money, kid. You're not going to make money there. People don't make money in those places. And that really hit me because I'm like, man, what do I got then? Like, what do I got if I don't have a college degree? I don't even have my high school diploma. I dropped out. I have a record. Like, what do I have then? And I thought, well, I have me and I have my mindset and I have all these people that are doubting me. And for me, the haters at the time, I loved it. I was like, you know what? I'm going to take this and I'm going to crush it. I end up getting this job. I do training for like 2 weeks. The training sucked. They had me like a book this thick, write all the rules as thick as the Bible, write all the rules, write all the regulations. I did that for 2 weeks and it sucked.
How long ago was this?
This was probably 6 years ago.
Okay.
6 years ago.
Yeah.
And I hated this, but then I didn't realize I was about to fall in love with it. There's 7 people on the floor at the time. I'm the only girl, old guy, super fat guy in the back eating Cheetos. You got the young guy, you know, next to you. Like it literally looked like you've seen the Wolf of Wall Street in the beginning when he walks into this real shitty call center and he's like, yep. What the hell? That's exactly it. And I looked at this and I'm like, okay, it's either a blessing in disguise or I really messed up or I'm really in a bad place. And I just took it really seriously. I looked at the best person in the room and I figured out how to make my own style with these scripts. And I figured out how to get comfortable on the phones. And then I fell in love with the fact that, wait, Now I can be anybody and there's no titles to this. Now I got people calling me miss. I have appointments. I have a secretary giving me calls on hold. Like I have files. Like I felt important. So I really took this job like so seriously because it was the first thing that made me feel significant. And I think significance is something like so important in your life because vision, life without a vision is life with no purpose, right?
Right.
Life with no vision, life with no significance, life with just a burden. It's a life of a burden and you feel that way. And I felt like a burden to everything. But when I was in this place, I was like, I'm it. They don't know me here. No one knows me. Not even the people on the phone. I can be whoever I wanted to be. And I fell in love with sales. Like I fell in love with it. Dialing, smiling, old school, meaning like printed out lead sheets with
how many calls were you making a day?
I was making at least 200 calls a day. I literally got there at 10 o'clock on the dot. And sometimes I'll get there at 9:30 because they opened at 10. I get there at 9:30 just to be the first one there and training and reading and looking things on how I could get better with sales. Ryan Stueman is actually the one that taught me sales because at the time I resonated with him so much because hardcore closer, his story, I'm like, he understands me. And his methods, man, it took me so many places because I worked at 10 and I was the last one to leave the place. So it'd be 6 o'clock we would leave. I was there till 7:30, still dialing. I was innovating the text message campaigns. I was figuring out how I could make better scripts. I was like, you know, really into it because once I saw that I was good at it, I was like, I could be great at this. And my first month, it was cool. Second month, I closed 50 deals. Third month, they all canceled. All of them canceled. So now I got this flow of, man, I think I'm the shit. And then I get called back to the office like, Nani, like, what are you telling these people? In my training, the guy didn't show me how to use a calculator. So with the calculator, I was missing a very important number every single time I calculated someone's payments. So he's like, man, this is why you were closing all those deals, man. You're not good. You're just good at bullshitting. And I remember when he said this to me and I'm like, damn, here was my significance factor again, my thermometer, it's down again. Like, damn, am I really just good at being all these bad things? And I'm like, no, this is a lesson. If I know how to close them, I closed 50 deals my first month and it was a mistake. I know that the right way can be done and I could do it. So I made sure that I honed myself. I made sure that I got my files reviewed every single time I quoted someone. I made sure that I was on point with it. And the next month, I ended up closing 60 deals. Following month, 80 deals. Next month, 100 deals. I was the first person in that place to be number one for the entire 4 years that I worked there.
Wow, man.
I gave my blood, sweat, and tears to that place that I ended up making a manager position because there's only one manager, but he sucked, man. He needed so much help. He needed help. And they didn't give the poor guy help. And one day I'm there for so long. I'm doing the trainings. I made their scripts. Like I innovated a whole new sales system. One day my boss comes up to me. He's like, Nani, are you telling people you're the manager? And I look at him. I'm like, yeah.
Act as if.
He's like, you know, there's only one manager, right? And I look at him. I'm like, no, there's two. Because without me, this place would not be functioning how it is for the last 3 years. And this is at the time when I'm going on my fourth year. They established me as a manager. When I was there, we started off with 7 reps. After the 4 years that I was there, we ended up growing to 60 salespeople, all trained by me. So on the board, it was my numbers from the reps and then my freaking killer numbers. So we were crushing it. We ended up making a moving company. They asked me to be involved with the moving brokerage. Me and the manager, we started it out and we got that business to run 7 figures the first year. This is my 5th year working with them. Now they promised me, hey, if we do another brokerage, we'll give you a percentage of this company. We'll give you a percentage of this company and you'll be set. And I really thought I was set with these guys. Like they took me out of my bad position. I'm making 10 grand a month in the student debt side. I'm making 10 grand in the moving company side. I got, you know, leverage here. I have respect here. I'm good here. These guys, they love me. And man, everything they told me, I believed. Like everything, because they always kept their word. But this time, they didn't keep their word. I go all in. I come up with another sales system for the moving brokerage. Now I'm helping them run that side. Numbers come up. We tripled our numbers from the last company. A lot of personal things were going on with my previous boss. And the day that I asked him, like, hey, you know, where's my 10%? Like, we just hit our numbers. He looked at me, and I will remember this. He closes the door. The other boss looks at me. It's Diego and Justin. They're just looking at each other, and I'm kind of like, I'm getting a bigger raise. Like they're gonna give me a partnership now. Like it's cool. I'm excited. So I'm dick smile like this. And he tells me, look, Nani, you know, how much money do you make right now? And I was now making 25, 30K, and I'm 23. Like, that's amazing. And I tell him, and he looks at me, he's like, are you satisfied with that? And like, I kind of look at him, because at the time, no, I was all, you know, when you're all about sales and you're really in that salesman life, like
right.
around the big shots, around the sales guys, go to drinks after competition. It's kind of like nothing but the money at this point. Like I'm a shit because I make the most money. So I look at him like, no, it's like, well, look, we're not going to give you the 10%. You know, we only told you how to work harder. You hit the numbers and we think you make really good money. And I just looked at them like, nah, they're not telling me this. This isn't real. And I looked at him, I'm like, are you sure? Like, you sure? And he's like, what do you mean? Am I sure? I'm like, are you sure that you're going to say this to me right now? And he's just like, Nani, we're sticking with our answer. I said, okay. I got up. I went to my desk, cleaned up my desk.
When was this, by the way?
What year is it? 2019, probably like 3 years ago.
3 years ago. Okay.
Yeah. 3 years ago now.
Yep.
2016 leading to 2017. Yeah. It's about 3 years ago. And man, I looked at them, grabbed all my stuff, started packing. They're like, Nani, you're not really leaving. I'm like, he's like, just think about it. Sleep on it. I'm like, okay, Diego, don't worry. I'm going to sleep on it. Trust me. Clean out my desk.
So you were wrapping up a $20,000 a month gig and calling it on it because they didn't hold their word.
Yeah. They screwed me over. They played me. And I just saw it getting worse after that. Cause there was a lot of things starting to happen now. Now they're bringing in a guy that I don't know. And his work ethic is horrible. Now it's messing up our name. He's not doing customer service, but they were okay with it. Now the money's getting to their head. They're not there at the office. It's a lot more drinking. Like now it's starting to fall. And I just knew something was wrong. So I asked for my percentage because they kept pushing it off. Oh, another week, another week. And to me, I just felt like, you know, I give these guys my blood, sweat, tears. I've worked for free. Because with the moving company, we literally told me we're not going to pay you out anymore. Like we're literally starting this company up. After we hit these numbers, we will give you this percentage. This is your buy-in. So I worked for months. Like honestly, during the holidays, no money coming in. Like none. Thanksgiving, no money. Christmas, I had to ask them for an advance for next month. Hopefully I make this sales check. And did that for them for 6 months. Then we ramp up. Now we're making money. And I'm a firm believer, you know, if you're in a startup position, go in on it. You know, if you're in on their vision, it's going to go good. But I was in on their vision. They weren't in on it because they ended up screwing me over.
You know, here's the thing with this. So I love having this show, bringing guests on because their stories start ringing bells in my head of things that happened to me that I've totally forgotten about. It's the craziest thing. I mean, what you're talking about right there. I mean, I worked in a mortgage company and had to pick up 22 employees, 3 branches and move them because the owner was dishonest. He's skimming off the top and stealing from us and promising us ownership in the company. And come to find out, we get the paperwork for it. And it's all like just some bogus bull crap stuff that's just not even. So been there before. Millions of dollars down a drain, and I can feel you on that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. So then what did you do? Like after that happened,
Jerry Maguire move, man. I got on top of the cubicle and I kind of was like, hey guys. And they looked at me. I have 60 eyeballs on me. I'm like, look, I just want to let you guys know that if these guys screw me over, they're going to screw you guys over too. And I just got down and everyone's like, wait, what? Like if Nani's leaving, I'm leaving. And I had 30 reps get up, walk right out the door with me. So that was really cool. That was powerful for me. But after that, I got into a real deep hole of depression. I didn't work for 3 months, like, and willingly, not because I couldn't get a job, because everybody was calling me. Once they heard that I was gone with Justin and Diego, they were blowing me up. Call centers everywhere wanting me to help them out. But I just got super depressed because I thought these guys were like my brothers, you know, like they took me out of a bad situation, molded me to who I am today. That business, that experience, I gave it 100% credibility that it made me who I am.
And so what did you end up learning from that whole thing?
I have so many lessons to say from working with them. It's some good, some bad. I will never do a handshake. Handshake's nothing. Paperwork is the most important thing ever. It doesn't matter if they're your dad. Doesn't matter if they're your best friend. Doesn't matter if you've been working with them for years. People get funny when money starts coming around.
Right.
So having a proper agreement in place is a real key lesson to any entrepreneur, business owner listening to this. Because I speak to people to this day where they're like, man, I got this buddy and I invested this with them. And man, I haven't seen the return back. But you know, he told me he got to me. And I'm telling you, no matter how old you are, they do not got you. And maybe a one out of a million chance you got that one person that you really shake their hand. Cool. But people start acting funny when money comes around.
Yep.
So that's a big important lesson. I would also say it taught me business and it taught me grit and it taught me how to not complain and how to really learn sales. You know, I think that if you knock at a door or you can close a deal over the phone, you're a real salesman.
Right.
And that place really molded me to who I was. I had no working experience. I ended up working an office, managing paperwork, doing customer service, learning how to run a business, learning lead generation, learning sales, creating training scripts. So it really molded me to be the person I am today. And I really admired my bosses because they were really self-made. And even when they screwed me over, I kind of admired it too. Because I'm like, man, these guys.
So let me ask you a question, because the stuff that happened to me in my past, I haven't shared everything on my podcast here with everyone. I plan to get into a lot more as I remember some of the stuff. But one thing that I did at first was I blamed them, right? But really, I'm in an environment now, and all my 30 employees that we work with, we're in a 100% responsibility environment now.
Yep.
And when I immersed myself in Grant and as a mentor, you know, I roll with what he says.
Yep.
And one of the big things is 100% responsibility. So what I looked at when I got jerked around, I looked at what involvement did I have in that? What responsibility did I have in that? And from that point, what happens is I didn't realize that he doesn't have the control anymore.
Yeah.
C-Rock has the control.
Yep.
And now what I can do is I cannot make that mistake again, but then I can really stick it to him because now I'm going to show him what it's all about. And that's what we've done in our company in the last 2 years. My mission is to help people grow and treat them the right way. But you know what? I don't know if it's the right thing. I'm a little stubborn to a fault sometimes, and I'm a little spiteful to a fault sometimes, but I want to jam it where the sun don't shine by just producing mass numbers so that they look at it and say, you know what, man, I really screwed up there. And that's maybe not the right thing to do. I'm just being honest with you, speaking my heart. That's one of my drivers every day.
And you know what? I'll tell you something. I had that same emotion. I was like, you know what? 3 months of depression. I go work for just another moving company to help them grow their business. I realized, dude, what the hell am I doing? Like, these guys are probably laughing that I'm at another company right now. I know how to start a business up. I went into this place for a month and their numbers went up literally 20% because I just implemented a tech strategy into it and a different follow-up system. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to open up my own moving company. I'm going to open it up and I'm going to take everything they taught me and I'm going to put it to their ass. And that's how I was. And I ended up creating my own moving company. I got lucky starting up a health insurance floor with someone. They wanted me to manage it. They saw I didn't really like it. They liked the numbers that I had. So they saw the potential that I could do. Offered to start up a moving business with me. Told them, yeah. And we made $350,000 the first 3 months. And my moving company, I sold it. But till this day, you look us up, we're number one with our reputation, our credibility, and you know what I did with it. And
how long did you have it before you sold it?
I had it for about 6-7 months because I ended up getting screwed over by my partner.
Nice.
I got screwed over by my partner. Money came. He wanted to get paid out right away. He had more authority, I would say, to the accounts and the contracts because he was the investor and I was just kind of like the one bringing my way on there. Another thing I would say to that is read the contract. People don't only just listen to what they're saying, get an attorney to review it. If you don't understand it, ask your friend. But my stubbornness, I just felt like I could always do everything on my own. And if I were to read this contract, I would not have been so scared to do half the things I could have done with the company because the company was mine. And he was a silent investor, but he just kept telling me we're partners. I kept looking at the paperwork. He would explain it to me. I'm like, oh, okay. Don't have too much knowledge on it. He ends up screwing me over. Takes half the money, flies to Puerto Rico. I don't see this guy again. He does this to me when season's over. So now we're getting chargebacks, refunds, customer service, having to pay carriers out. It took me for a run for my money. Like it drained me for my money. And that's where I found grit. I'm down now. I have no momentum. My business is basically about to shut down because I have no revenue. I can't pay my employees. I can't pay my marketers. Like, I can't do anything. I'm stuck. One day I just kind of had a meltdown and I fired everybody on my floor, And I joined the 10X ambassador group literally that weekend. I reveal who I am to the group and I just found a community. And I think that's really important, is finding a place where you feel home, because we try to put ourselves in so many environments that aren't for us. And I got into this ambassador group and I just felt a community. And I was like, you know what? I could do this. Start building up my company again from the ground up, referrals in place, tuning up my sales, trying to figure out how I could work my power base. I get my company to rev up again.
No, same thing, a moving company.
Yep, moving company. Get my company to rev up again. It's the same business. Didn't shut it down yet. And now I'm making the money, but now I'm so burnt out from how much work and stress and everything I put into it. I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. I go to GrowthCon and I'm listening to Steve Harvey speak.
This past GrowthCon.
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
And I have premiere seats. So I'm like smack in the front and I'm listening to Steve Harvey speak. And he's talking about purpose, man. And how so many of us are living a purpose that's not ours. That when we get to the end of the road, we're like, man, why don't I see the unicorns? Why don't I have this great arrival feeling? And it's because you're living a purpose that's not yours. You're taking on obstacles that's not yours. You're putting yourself through shit that does not have anything to do with you. So that's why you don't feel the great arrival. And even then, when you think you feel the arrival, it's not about the arrival. There's no arrival. It's about the journey, right? When he said that to me, to everybody, I felt like he was talking directly to me. When he said that, it just put a fire in me. And I had the same notebook right here at my desk where I write in power, in pack, in wolf, in this. Like, I write 10 names and I circle in power. And I look at my best friend, Rob, and I tell him, like, I'm going to start a community where I'm going to make sure that I help anyone feel in power of who they are. And this doesn't happen to them, because I love my moving company. But the passion was out of me because I got so burnt out. I got screwed over. And I'm like, man, this just isn't for me. And then it made sense. You said, right where you said, you know, I wanted to give it to them. I made that business just to give it to them. I didn't make that business because I wanted it. I made it out of vengeance.
Right.
I made it out of being spiteful. And what happens? You find your fundamentals and your foundation that that's not you. So I really, you know, thought about it. 2 weeks go by. I closed down Innovative Moving Solutions, my main source of income. I close it down and I go forward with writing a status on my Facebook saying, hey, I want to have a beta group of 10 people that I want to impact and hold accountable and coach for the next 30 days. Who's willing to do it? Had an amazing outreach of people. I get 10 people to do it and 30 days go by and these people's results, even myself, because I joined in with everything. I'm a firm believer that a boss says go, but a leader says let's go. Even myself, I saw the momentum and everyone's like, well, what's next? And I'm like, okay, here's what's next. Boom, got my titles of article, established Empower as a business. And I started up a coaching community where I help individuals stay accountable for who they are, what they want to do, and getting to the next level. I do that results, routine, and recharge.
So Steve Harvey said, find your gift. Do you remember that?
Yep.
He said, find your gift. And he just knew that he could make anybody laugh.
Yep.
And then he had a guy, he told a story about a guy who was cutting grass and they were in the hood and they were all hanging out. And the one guy would be cutting grass, right? And he could cut the grass crisscrossed, parallel, whatever, making designs.
Whatever was good.
And he just loaded up and made, so find your gift, right? That's your gift. Yep. And so did you monetize right away or did you kind of just start out just trying to get it?
No. So it was really rough. This year was probably, I would say, my roughest year, but I would say it was my year because everything else was everybody else's, working for someone else, helping someone else's dream, being a team player 100%. I think in order to be a good leader, you must learn how to be a good follower first. And a lot of people try to skip that step, but I learned that I've been a real good servant. I've been a real good follower, but now it's time for me to really step out and hone my skills. And a lot of people would say this year, like, really, Nani, this is your risk-taking year? You've been an entrepreneur for a while, but yeah, this year was my real risk-taking year because I shut down my main source of income. I start up a community, $0. So for the first, from March till about June, I didn't charge anybody. All I did was start up this community, do a 90-day accelerator group, do masterminds every single Friday, show up every single day, make these live videos that everyone sees. I don't know if you follow me on Facebook, but I make these live videos that everybody was loving. I get over 100 views on it while I'm doing it. And people were hyped for this. And I did this for 6 months. I started a podcast like what we're on right now. I started it in June specifically just because I wanted to bring power players to my mastermind community. And now it's a killer podcast. I got big players. I had Tim Story, Brad Lee, Ryan Stuman. I just had Sean Wallen, Waylon.
So hold on a second. I know those big names and yeah. I'm excited and proud of you. What is the podcast name so the listeners can go check it out? I want to make sure we get that in. Power Talk?
Power Talk.
Power Talk. Okay. And then guys, listen, you're listening to this, whether you see it on Facebook, iTunes, wherever, go look up Power Talk. Nani's podcast, check her out, give her some feedback, show her some love. Anybody that comes onto our show, we're going to support them. I'm not bringing people on here that we're going to half-ass with. We're going to go full force to support our people. So check that out. And then where can they also find you? And I'm not ending this right now because I'm interested. I got some questions for you, but I want to make sure I get this in. Instagram, I shared it on my Instagram story today, but what's your Instagram handle?
My Instagram handle is Azonani. That's AZONANI. So it's Azo Nani.
All right. Check her out. And Facebook as well under your name, right? Your regular name, right? Okay.
Nani Brunel.
Yep. Okay. So make sure you check her out and show her some support. And okay. So I have a couple questions. I always refer back to when I was 11 years old, my dad gave up on me. My story is that he crumpled up a $100 bill and threw it at me. He said, here, you're going to need this when you're living on the streets with your mother one day, just because I decided to move back with my mom full time. Lot that went into it, what have you. But I always refer back to that and ask myself, what am I made of? When I go through tough times, something hurdle comes, even when things are going great to get to the next level, I always say, come on, man, what are you made of? Let's go. Let's go. Look at all the stuff you've been through.
Yeah.
What is the moments at, now you went through the young age part, but what is one or two really important moments in that life, young age life that made the biggest difference that you draw back on?
I would say when I was suicidal, I was young and dumb, just young and dumb. And I was feeling so reckless, so hopeless for myself. And this is where I really learned that, like, it's me. It's not anybody else.
How old were you?
I was 20 years old. I just got arrested for drinking and driving. I get in a really bad accident. I thought I killed my best friend that was in the car at the time. I wake up in jail, don't have a bond. Don't know what's going on, 72-hour hold, because I guess I got into an altercation with the officer while I was drunk. So they keep you in like a watch. 72 hours of literally sitting in a cell, like thinking, like, I don't know if I killed my friend. I don't have a bond. I don't know if I'm in here forever. I don't know if I'm going to see my little girl again. Is this really what my life came to? Like, is this really it, Nani? Like, this is what you are made of. This is what you made your life to be. I end up getting a bond, bonding myself out. And when I get home, the part for me that killed me was my little girl didn't even notice I was gone. And man, I came home and she didn't even notice I was gone. That to me broke me. And I tell my dad, you know, I'm going to go get something from my friend's house. I got to get some papers. And really, I just go to get some liquor. I grab a couple Xanax bars and I went to the jetties here in South Florida. It's like a little intersection for boats coming out and it's really rocky, really high. And I went to the jetties and I saw a friend before I went there and it was just a why me thing. Like, oh, why me? Pity me, pity me. Wasn't in the right mindset. I go to the edge of the rocks. I've already took maybe three of these pills. I'm drinking the bottle and I literally am about to walk off, like a foot is off. And when I go to put the other foot, I just get tackled down. And my friend followed me. And she told me, why can't you see that it's not everybody that doesn't love you? It's you that doesn't love you. And why can't you see that it's not everybody that doesn't care about you? It's you that doesn't care about you. And to me, that was powerful because she literally saved my life. So that for me was a eye opener and everything started changing for me. I started getting really more on point, started wanting to take care of myself, wanting to be a better parent, wanting to really hone into who I really am. Another pivotal point for me was when my dad left, just very similar to what you said. I remember my dad looking me right in my face. We're sitting on his expedition. He just packed up all his things. And I didn't understand what was going on because my mom just redid the whole house for him. He was on vacation in Colombia visiting family for a month. And my mom was redoing the entire place, like ready to surprise him. And when he got back, he was just so different. And that same day that he got back, the next day he left. He packed up all his things and he looked at me and was like, "Nani, I love you, but there's just some things that you're not going to understand in life. And I want you to know there's a time and place for everything. But what's about to happen now, probably not going to forgive me for a while, but I promise you I love you." And I just looked and I didn't understand what that meant. And he left. And when he left the next day, I find out from my godparents and my mom finds out that he's been sleeping with his sister. So for me, it was like, man, I went through, is he leaving because of us?
Now,
like,
you said his sister?
His sister.
Your aunt.
My aunt, his sister, had a baby with her and everything. So my mom was a godmother of the baby. Like, we lived together. We had a huge house. They had big businesses. Like, we were very well off, my parents. They built themselves a big irrigation company. I find that out. And I just felt like, man, like, I really learned a big lesson that it doesn't matter if it's blood or it doesn't matter if it's not blood family, they're probably going to break your heart first. And not an expectation of, man, they're supposed to, they owe me no heartbreaks, but it's more or less of, man, this was the first lesson where I learned that people will let you down. And it's not you, it's just the expectations that you had of someone.
Right. And here's the thing, like, this stuff happened to me when I was younger and the parents couldn't get along, right? They're putting themselves in front of the kids. And one of the things that I have two kids right now, 13-year-old boy, 7-year-old girl. I'm very blessed, by the way. I have a beautiful wife inside and out. She's awesome. I don't know how I did it. I really don't. I've been just like so fortunate and blessed. But even if she was a pain in the butt, which she's not, she is not. She's the greatest. But even if she was, I would put up with so much to make sure my kids didn't go through what I went through.
Yeah.
I'm very passionate, if you can't tell, that parents should really understand that their actions have a big impact, not just on the kids, what's going on right now in their lives, not a couple years, but later on down the road, they're affected by it, man. They're watching you. Everything that you do, you don't know it. They're watching you.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's true. You know, a lot of the things that my mom and everyone would tell me when I was younger, like, you have a 14-year-old son and a 7-year-old daughter. It's crazy that in each of those ages, I could still remember one thing that my parents would tell me or one thing that I was told. And when I was 14, I was told I'm a loser. When I was 14, I was told I'm a hard-headed kid, that, you know, I'm nothing, and that this that's happening to me, it's happening for a reason. And I was told that from many people, you know, because I was a very mad kid, heartbroken kid. You can imagine, my dad just left my mom for his sister. The little girl that I've been calling my cousin that has cancer and is super sick is really my little sister. And my aunt that's been living with us the whole time, she's really, you know, like that.
Did you get into a lot of fights?
Yeah. Oh my God. Everyone thought I was a maniac because I just did not want to hear nothing from anybody. I didn't want to hear shit. Like, that was me when I was younger. I didn't want to hear shit. It was my way or the highway. And I just felt like, man, my dad left me and broke up my family. You think I care what the fuck?
I've been there, man.
And as my life got worse because of my actions, and just so you guys know, I'm not saying this was my karma. I'm saying these were my actions. I was so ignorant to think nothing resulted in nothing, but exactly nothing. I did nothing with my life and I got nothing in return. I got arrested. I got into fights. I got kicked out of school. I got all the bad things because I did nothing. So nothing definitely results in nothing. And when you're angry, don't fill yourself up with voids, because that's what I did. And they were short-term fixes, man. They were not long-term fixes.
Yep. And by the way, I love your Christmas tree in the background there.
Thanks. I made sure I had it on.
Awesome.
Here, thought.
Hey, so let's finish on this. What is your like vision now going forward for the next year and next 5 years? What is your vision and what are you going for? And what kind of difference are you aiming to make?
So I started up my Empower Tribe this year. And the course on which I went to get to this name and the momentum that I'm building up, it really made me clear of my mission. I'm a firm believer saying turn your mess into your mission, because so many of us disqualify ourselves because we're living the titles of other people and we're incarcerated with their expectations, right? And then we're incarcerated with our bad beliefs of who we were, not accepting who we are and not giving us a chance to go to the future, right? So what I want to do ultimately is grow my community with over 100,000 paid members. That's a big goal. So my message gets more known and gets out there to the masses. Another goal that I want is to continue speaking, be able to get on more stages, be able to have more opportunities to speak. And then the end result is creating little incubators in cities around South Florida, that is kind of for at youth risk center. Because if I had someone pour into me when I was younger, someone just tell me they love me and I actually believe them, someone I could trust, I probably wouldn't be as be where I was at the age that I was at.
Right.
So
right.
My main goal is impact right now. I live a purpose driven life now, not a profit driven.
I love it. All right. Well, look, we're going to get all the information and put it in the show notes so you can reach out to Nani, follow her, give her support like we talked about. And we just appreciate you coming on. I'm looking forward to coming on your show with your group and trying to bring that What Are You Made Of movement to them and this snowball for both of us. Yeah. Let's get this thing rolling and growing big. And I hope to see you in person at GrowthCon.
Definitely, man. Okay. I'll be there.
All right. We got a bunch of us coming to Vegas. If not, sooner when I come down to Miami, I'll pop by or something. We'll grab some coffee or something.
That'd be awesome, man. So, I appreciate you having me on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. I appreciated it. And I'm glad all the information that we have here is very powerful. And, I didn't show it, but I'm inside. Like, I could feel like the tears getting ready to come out, man. It's powerful stuff. So, we will come back next episode and we're going to end it here. Thanks to Nations Lending again for sponsoring the What Are You Made Of with Mike Crock podcast. Thanks for joining us. Please share with your friends and family, subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, iTunes, Spotify, or hit us up on the Facebook group. We got the What Are You Made Of private Facebook group. Join it. Come on in. I'll let you in and we will, try to inspire you with our stories.
Thank you for being a part of the What Are You Made Of podcast. So that you don't miss future episodes, please rate and subscribe to the What Are You Made Of podcast on your favorite listening or viewing apps and follow me on your favorite social media platforms. I would love to hear your stories and past experiences and engage with you further.